I want to speak to you for several brief messages about what the Apostle Paul called the glorious gospel of Christ. The expression is found in his second epistle to the Corinthian church and in the fourth chapter. I will read the first six verses of that chapter. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 to 6. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, have shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. You have that phrase, glorious gospel of Christ, in verse 4. Spurgeon says concerning this expression, there it is, shining in the center of the verse, like a pearl in its setting. Verse 4 then, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Today I want to draw your attention to the one who resists and opposes the glorious gospel of Christ. The devil is mentioned in this text, in actual fact. Paul calls him the God of this world, verse 4, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine unto them. And so you see, the devil, he works to blind the minds of men. Men who are unbelieving, men who are unbelievers, blinding them, lest the light of this glorious gospel of Christ should shine into their hearts. You see, Christ's glorious gospel has opposition. It has the opposition of hell. The chief enemy of it is the devil, and he is the one who stirs up enmity in the human heart against that same gospel. The first thing I draw your attention to about this opponent of the glorious gospel is his name, the name that the Apostle Paul gives this antagonist and this adversary to Christ's glorious good news. Paul calls him the God of this world. The word world here expresses this age, this present time in which we live, the world as it is now, before the last day comes, this present evil world. Of course, he's not the God of this world in the way that the true and living God is the God of all cosmos. There's only one true and living God. There's only one God who is infinite, eternal and unchangeable in his being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness and truth. And thus the translators of our English version rightly give the name God here when ascribed to Satan a small g. The French reformer John Calvin said, the devil here is called the God of this age in no other way than Baal was called the God of those who worshipped him, or the dog, the God of Egypt. He's not a real and true God, but he's this fallen world's God. This age is under his rule, and this world bows to his influence. The Apostle John said, the whole world lieth in wickedness. So he doesn't have absolute sovereignty like Almighty God does. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, and the world, and they that dwell therein. The Lord Jesus Christ himself faced Satan, and we know that Satan came to Jesus as this world's ruler. You remember in the temptation that's described in Matthew's Gospel, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And Satan said unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. So certainly Satan, he thinks himself to some extent to be the prince of this world. And the Lord Jesus didn't contest those claims, though he refused to bow down and worship him. And several times the Lord Jesus Christ did in actual fact call Satan the prince of this world. On one occasion he said, I will not talk much with you, when it was coming near to the end of his days, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. And we know that Paul also referred to him with that title of prince, the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, Ephesians 2 and verse 2. And today many men and women literally do, willingly and knowingly, worship him. But the most part of unbelievers are ignorant of him, as they are of God, and are blinded to the dominion that Satan has over their souls, and they're as ignorant of him who is the opponent of this gospel as they are of the gospel itself. But it doesn't change the fact that he has blinded their minds. So that's the name that the apostle gives to the adversary of the glorious gospel. The next thing is the people and the place among whom and where this adversary works as he resists Christ's glorious good news. The text says, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. It is the unbelievers. Paul clearly here states that Satan works in unbelievers, them that believe not. They have no faith in Christ. They have no confidence in the gospel. They don't believe the Bible, and they see nothing glorious about it. So he works in unbelievers, those who have no faith. And they're also described there, it says there, in whom the God of this world hath blinded. And that expression, in whom, refers to the verse 3 before. If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. In whom? And so they're not only unbelievers, but they're the lost. The unbelieving are lost. That's what the unconverted sinner is, in whom the glorious gospel has never shone. He's lost. He's lost in sin. He's lost in darkness. He's lost as a prey to that adversary, the devil, who goes about like a roaring lion, seeking to devour men. And so literally it is, they're perishing. They're lost and they're perishing. That's who he's working in. He's working in the perishing ones, and they're going on in darkness, and they're going on the broad road that leads to destruction. They're in danger of eternally perishing. They're lost. And this is the description of that people in whom he works in. And because of this, the glorious gospel of Christ is foolishness to them. Because it says the preaching of the cross is to them that perish, to those who are lost, foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it's the power of God. So they're perishing in sin. And that's how God's word depicts the unrepentant and the unbelieving. And so Paul says that this work in the unbeliever is in their minds as well as in their hearts, because it says there he's blinded the minds of them which believe not. Their intellects, their understanding. You see, the devil is the author of all errors and lies and false philosophies that blind minds. And so the great battleground concerning this glorious gospel is the mind of a man. Satan puts all his energy to delude men's minds. It's not the only thing at work in the minds of sinners, of course. There are other things. Unconverted sinners themselves oppose the gospel. They have enmity in their hearts against this glorious gospel. The Lord Jesus said, "This is the condemnation, that light has come into the world. But men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." So though men love the darkness and choose the darkness, Satan still works hard to keep them blinded to this glorious gospel of the grace of God in Jesus Christ. And what he does on these minds is to blind them. He casts a veil over them. And the unbelieving, of course, are willing in this. They embrace atheism and evolution. They embrace the lie, the deceitful philosophies wherewith he deludes them. They embrace systems of faith that are contrary to the gospel. They willingly reject the glorious gospel of Christ. This blindness, then, the devil works in their hearts. He casts a veil over the minds. You remember how the apostle said about the Jews, their minds were blinded. For until this day remaineth the veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament. And so there is this blindness of men. The blindness of unbelievers in no way detracts from the clearness of the gospel, John Calvin said. For the sun is no less resplendent because the blind do not perceive its light. So it's still a glorious gospel, even though they are blind to perceive that. I wonder, have you ever seen the glorious gospel? Has it shone into your heart? Are you still blinded by the God of this world?